People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Are you looking for the ideal Western family vacation? You need to check out Latigo Ranches at latigotrails.com. Enjoy a 100-mile panoramic view of the Continental Divide, 3 miles from the nearest neighbor. Latigo Ranch is secluded, scenic, and intimate, the perfect size to create a sense of family coming home. Enjoy a vacation of mountains, fishing, trails, horses, and great country cooking. Whether it's a family reunion or a once-in-a-lifetime Western vacation for your family, Latigo Ranches is where you want to be. LatigoTrails.com or call 1-800-227-9655. The program with the right worldview and a generational vision. My name is Kevin Swanson. Thank you for joining us today on Generations. Today I've got issues. Issue number one. In the worst decision since Roe Wade and Lawrence v. Texas, the Supreme Court of the United States has done it again. They've struck down executions for murderers. That is, executions for young men who murder others with foresight and malice. This is a problem. You know, the really distressing part of this is that the majority on the Supreme Court based its opinion on two things: international pressure and opinion polls. So much for the rule of law. Now it's opinion polls. Now it's international pressure. Now, what's next? If the Supreme Court is going to base American law on international pressure, then if we take international pressure from Germany, for example, to kill, oh, let's say, Jews, or to outlaw homeschooling, for example, as they've done, and we've talked about that in this program. So what are we going to do? We're going to cave in and follow Germany? What makes Germany, what makes Europe the paradigm of moral virtue? In case anybody's curious about the rule of law and what the Bible has to say about this, in case anybody really cares about what Jesus would actually say or what Jesus would actually do, you know, people wear the WWJD bracelet, but did you ever ask yourself what Jesus would actually do? Well, as it turns out, Jesus had something to say about teen executions. It's in Matthew 15 and verse 4. Yes, Matthew 15 and verse 4. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. Jesus has something to say about teen executions for teens who murder their parents. Look it up. Matthew 15 and verse 4. If you care, WWJD, or what Jesus would say. Issue number two. What would you do if you were a father? I've asked myself this question. What would I do if I was a father and I was trying to raise my children in a country where leadership at the highest level is so corrupt, it utterly abandons the standards of God's laws? What would I do if I was trying to raise my children in a country where tens of millions of babies have been killed in the womb, where homosexuality is glorified? A country where I'm trying to raise a son, where fatherhood is virtually extinguished, where 35% of children are born without fathers, these boys have abandoned their families, where 50% of marriages end in divorce. What would you do If you were trying to raise your children in this culture, what would you do? You'd establish a vision. You'd establish a vision. And that is what we have been doing on this program this week. A vision for manhood. A vision where there is no vision. Now, almost every day, I work at an office where I visit with troubled teens. Their moms bring them in. It's not their dads. Their moms bring them into the office. Because by the time these teens are 14, 15, 16 years of age, these youth are perishing. They are perishing. And that's why their mothers are concerned. They know their children are perishing. So they bring them into the office. And these boys come in. It's obvious they're perishing. Without a vision, the people perish. There is no vision. No vision. So these boys are aimless, lazy, rebellious, and unfocused. They won't look you in the eye. They won't look me in the eye. They have an attitude problem. And their moms did just the right thing. They did the very first thing, the right thing, the very first good thing they should do for these teens, and that is pull them out of public school where there is no vision. But now what? Without a vision, the people perish. So for lack of a vision for raising sons, there are millions in this state, millions of sons that will perish. Well, we're going back to the book and we are saying, does God have a vision for the raising of sons? We've got to have something in mind if we're going to raise our sons. And this is God's vision for manhood. There are six parts of God's vision for manhood. That's what we've been discussing on this program this week. We are raising our sons to take dominion of God's green earth, and we are raising our sons to fight for faith, family, and freedom. This is God's vision for manhood. This is the topic of discussion today, a new area of God's vision as we take on the six parts of the vision on this program. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. Generations will be back with a vision for manhood in a moment.
The police! They're here for the kids!
Ladies and gentlemen, there are forces that want to take your children out of your homeschool forever. It's a worldview thing. And one day a year, about 1,000 homeschool families converge on the Capitol to stand for their homeschool freedoms. This year, on Friday, April 8th, it's Homeschool Day at the Capitol, and your family can participate in this free event. Informative seminars, a noontime rally, historical and legislative tours, and you can sign your children up for the Future Statesman program. But most importantly, this is your opportunity to send a message to your legislators. We love our family, and we love our freedoms. This year, we are honoring Representative Dave Schultheis with our Statesman of the Year award. Do not miss Homeschool Day at the Capitol, April 8th. Sign up today at www.check.org. That's check, C-H-E-C.org, or call 877-842-CHECK. One day a year for freedom. Can you afford that? Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303. On the quest to save the West, Western civilization, this is Generations, and we are saving boys today. On Generations, boys are increasingly disenfranchised by our current education system. There's a war against boys going on, and boys are not being prepared to be men. And that is why 35% of children in 2004 are born without fathers. Folks, I want to encourage you, I want to encourage Colorado to start raising their boys with a vision. A vision for what boys are going to become. And on this program this week, we have discussed the several objectives God has placed out in His Word for how we are going to raise our boys. Number one, we raise our boys to take dominion of God's green earth. Number two, we raise our boys to be fighters. Fighters for faith, family, and freedom. Fighters for those values that we hold dear and God holds dear. And today, we are going to move to one more objective. Let's get one more objective in mind as we raise these little boys. We've got to raise them for a vision. And number three today is raising our boys to be responsible. Responsible for material sustenance for their families. Dave Buhner, our producer, is with me today, and Dave and I are going to discuss this topic. Dave, the Bible talks about the vital importance of a boy being raised with this objective in mind. Too many boys walk down the river, as the men did in John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. That was the problem for the social breakdown in that great story. The men would abandon the home when things got too tough. But the Bible says in no uncertain terms, 1 Timothy 5:7, if any man does not provide for his own, it's all in the male here, not the female gender, if any man does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Dave, we need to raise our sons with this, that if you do not provide for your own family, son, when you're old, you have denied the faith. You are an unbeliever, definitively. You are an unbeliever. You are going to hell. The Bible equates these things, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Bible makes it really tough. As a man, you are to be the provider. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that a wife, a woman, a daughter, even a son might not be contributing to the family economy, but they are not the one who is accountable to God for provision.
Right. They are not responsible. They are contributors. Proverbs 31 woman, you think of Aquila and Priscilla, they together were tent makers, but the husband, the father, is responsible. And Dave, we need to raise our sons with this objective in mind. How do we do this?
We're going to start out by getting this principle in their mind that they are going to be the provider for their family. They're going to have to go earn by the sweat of their brow the sustenance to maintain their family. They're going to be accountable before God.
And of course, number one, as a father, I can share a good example with my son, and I try to do that. My son is with me a lot. In fact, yesterday he saw me working for between 14 and 15 hours. He was with me almost the whole time. And by the end of the day, we were exhausted. It was a tough day. But my son saw that I was going to work for my family and for the calling that God had placed on my life. And that's an important example to share with your son.
You definitely want to set a good example. Now, the other thing is you want to start providing opportunities for your son to work and to start earning something so he gets in the habit of earning. And, of course, with that, it's going to go all the stewardship principles of saving and when to spend and when not to spend and being wise with that.
One of the things you do not want is an 18-year-old boy who is not prepared to provide for his family. So, Dave, I'd suggest that you begin when your son is 11, 12 years of age and get him working. He's got to know what work is like. That's important, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we live in an age, and I can just hear the people out there right now saying, but with child labor laws, I can't send my son to work. Take that as a blessing, because now we get to teach our children in more entrepreneurial activities. Instead of putting them in employment, we get them in business, which is far, far preferred, because now they're their boss. Now there's certain freedoms that come with that position. When I was a boy, we could have paper routes. You know, now they don't even have that. So we're going to have to be a little bit more creative in finding those areas where a child can be in business.
God's vision for boys. The third aspect to this vision is responsibility for the material sustenance of his family. He's got to have this objective clearly in mind as he is being raised. I must be responsible. I must be responsible. And Dave, let's look at that word, responsibility.
Yeah, Kevin, I like to differentiate between the word accountable and the word responsible. Accountable is somebody who's going to take the blame, who's going to bear the burden of the consequence. It goes into their account. They are accountable. Somebody who is responsible is somebody who is able to respond. So a situation comes up, instead of saying, oh well, something happened, I guess I'm going to get blamed for it. Now, that's accountability. Responsibility goes the next step and says, what am I going to do?
A boy that is raised with this idea in mind, I'm responsible for my wife and my children. If he loses his job, Dave, what is his attitude?
Well, with that responsibility comes a sense of initiative. And that's the part that differentiates responsibility from accountability. Accountability doesn't carry an initiative with it. Responsibility, I'm going to respond to the situation. I'm going to initiate some action. So the initiative is now to go whatever it's going to take. There are other places to work. Now, the boy who's been raised entrepreneurially, he's going to be able to go out and say, hey, can I wash your windows? Can I do this? Can I do that? He's going to be able to earn it. Now, this is the problem, is that in our society, we're not taught that. If you go to a public school like I was, you're taught that that's an impossibility. You have to kind of get a whole new mindset.
Parents, we need to train our sons to take responsibility, even when they have failed. My son, just the other day, faced a little failure. And I told him, I said, son, you know, this is the point at which you're going to prove your manhood. This is the point at which you don't just sit there and cry. You get up and you do a better job next time. And my son looked at me and said, Dad, can I do that? I said, I know you can do it.
And Kevin, what I would really encourage people with boys who are in those young teen years, if they're not in a situation where they can find something that is safe for them to do entrepreneurially, maybe they can't mow the yards, maybe they live in a place where they don't have a lawnmower or something, get your son involved in an internship. Get him in an apprenticeship under some other man in a business, a godly man, a trusted man, not just any man. You want to put him under somebody who you can delegate right authority to. You want to put him in there so that they can earn in a safe environment and learn the business and learn the discipline of work.
All right. We talked about the provider aspect of our son's vision. That is, they need to be prepared to take care of their families materially. But, Dave, this involves an element of protection as well. Our sons need to understand that they are responsible to protect their families. And they can learn that even at home with their sisters. They can learn to protect their sisters and look out for the material well-being so that their sisters are not accosted by somebody.
Right, and the two really go hand in hand, because if you have provided for your family, you're protecting them from having to go out into the unsafe environment. You're protecting them economically. But even my boys, we teach them that they're to protect their sisters. We say this to them all the time. What's your duty regarding your sister? It's to protect her. So we're going to start treating her as the weaker vessel. Your job is to protect her.
Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, our sons will perish. They'll be raised aimless, shiftless, without vision. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to raise your boys with these objectives in mind. They come straight from the pages of God's Word. Today, Material Provider. We'll be back in just a moment to give you some practical tips on how you can train your son with this vision in mind. We'll be back in a moment. My name's Kevin Swanson. Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a five-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God, from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.
Recording. Raising boys to be men. All we're talking about is developing the next generation. All we're talking about is how the world is going to be 20 years from now. Another critical program on generations. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. My name is Kevin Swanson. How to train a boy into a man. And today he's got to be trained with a vision for taking material sustenance, care of his family. And Dave, you know, this is a tough thing. This is a tough thing. I have found that it is hard to teach my boy to do a good job, to be responsible, and produce a good effect. I think most folks give up because financially and time-wise, it's very, very inefficient, isn't it?
You spend an incredible amount of time teaching diligence and initiative to children. A good place to start is with ourselves because we are sinful, broken people ourselves who sometimes lack initiative and diligence. But when we take that and compound that and take it to a little sinner and try and train that, well, now we know what Shanantam is. It's that daily sharpening. We said the other day it's taking all that energy that a boy naturally has, focusing it, giving it direction. And that's a tough task.
And he's going to make a lot of mistakes. You talk about giving your son a task of planting a garden. You know what? He's going to blow it for the first 2 years. And can you sustain that? Can your household economy sustain a son who makes a lot of mistakes, breaks a lot of windows, ruins a lot of product? Can you sustain that? Of course you've got to, because we got to keep the end in view. What are we trying to do? The Bible talks about our children being olive plants, and something that we need to understand about olive plants is it took 18 years to nurture that plant before it became a fruitful tree. And, you know, you've got to put a lot of stuff in on the front end, but in the end, the results are incredible, and we've got to look for that in faith, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. We need to be looking at what the adult son is going to be. We got to see him as a mighty man of God. We got to be having that vision right there in our mind when we have to go fix the window, when we got to go spend another $400 for a blown mistake. And we need to be able to walk beside our son and say, son, you're worth it because this is what you're growing up to be.
Let's train our sons to be responsible, to take care, material care of their families, because as the Bible says, in 1 Timothy 5:8, if they don't do that, they will not be a believer in God. Responsible people do not make excuses. Responsible people plan, work, and don't give up. Responsible people learn the buck stops here. Responsible people act on their responsibility. Responsible people double check that they are fulfilling their responsibilities. And responsible people don't rely on others to tell them what to do and when to do it. That's the goal. That's the vision for raising these mighty men of God. As we end this program today, I want to encourage our listeners to sign up for the Father-Son Retreat. This is a great experience. This August, at the absolutely gorgeous Crooked Creek Ranch high in the Colorado Rockies, we are going to be holding our second Father-Son Retreat. We will have 400 Father-Sons up there, and you will join Vision Forum's Doug Phillips and Richard Little Bear Wheeler this August for this great time of fathers and sons renewing a vision and building relationships. This is available. You can sign up for this at 877-842-CHECK, 877-842-CHECK, or on the web, check.org. That's C-H-E-C.org. You can interact with this program by emailing Kevin at check.org. That's Kevin at check.org. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for me. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is a Colorado-approved, graduated driver licensing program that will work for you and your family. Call the National Drivers Training Institute and give your new teen driver education and the training they deserve. The program costs start at $155, and it's recognized by every insurance company in Colorado. Call 266-4700 in the Springs. Outside the Springs, call 1-800-942-2050. Or go online, nationaldrivertraining.com.